You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, getting ready to talk some New York Mets with MLB.com's Mets beat reporter, Anthony DiComo. It has been a pretty interesting and busy week in Mets land, and there's a lot of things going on, but one thing I actually intended to ask about last week that we didn't get to is the ongoing David Wright situation. As we talk, he has two extra base hits and 145 plate appearances since the All-Star break. That looks like more than a slump to me. Is he still, I mean, even given the recent neck issue, is he still saying that his shoulder is not an issue?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Every time David Wright is asked about his shoulder, you know, the questions usually take the form of, are you hurt or what's hurt or anything like that. And he doesn't really answer it directly. His answer to those types of things is typically something along the lines of, well, if I'm in the lineup, I expect to produce. So, you know, he's not necessarily denying that the shoulder is a factor. He just doesn't want to call attention to it. You know, he does still get treatment on it all the time. I don't think it's as much of a factor as it maybe was 3 or 4 weeks ago. That being said, there are definitely some people in the clubhouse, some people in the training staff, manager Terry Collins among them, who think, you know, when it really was at its worst, the shoulder forced him to change some things with his mechanics, with his swing. Guys do that unconsciously all the time, you know, just to try and be comfortable up there at the plate. And he got into some bad habits that are really affecting him now. You know, I don't think anyone really believes that David Wright aged this much overnight. He's 31. He's definitely at the age when people start to decline a little bit. But not like this. This is more than a slump. This is more than just regression. You know, this is a worrisome issue for the Mets, and as they fall further and further out of this thing, you have to wonder if it might be best for all parties involved to just, you know, have him sit down for a while, have him really get himself right so that you're not worrying about this going into the offseason or going into next season.
Right, and I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but and this reminds me very much of, there are some ways in which it's almost eerily similar to the stuff I covered with Scott Rolen several years back. It's very clear he's not going to take himself out, and that's fine. At what point, and it sounds like maybe the manager's not either, at some point does the front office put in a call to the manager? I mean, does something happen where somebody says, look, we love you, thanks for all you're doing, thanks for suffering for us, but this isn't doing anybody any good, you need to sit for a while?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very tricky situation. You have a star player, the star player on the team in the franchise, you know, the guy who's probably more important than, you know, just about anyone in the franchise. And he's saying he's fine. He's saying he's good to go. Then you have a manager, you know, who would be the guy who has the authority to go ahead and say, you know, you're not good, we'll take you out. But, you know, this is a manager who's worried about his own job. You know, maybe he's not necessarily in quote-unquote hot water, but there's no guarantees that he's going to the guy going forward. So the last thing he wants to do is ruffle the feathers of you know, the big fish in town. So, yeah, maybe it comes to that where everyone has to sit down at an open table and just have a meeting, you know, the player, the manager, the front office, and really decide what's best going forward. You know, it's tough. It's a tough situation because the front office doesn't like to get involved in day-to-day player personnel decisions, but if they deem that this is a situation that's going beyond that realm, that's going beyond the day-to-day, and it becomes something that could really affect the direction of the franchise, then it's a conversation that, you know, they're going to need to have. You know, for now, it's just sort of that day-to-day thing, and I think everyone around the team or in the clubhouse is just hoping that, you know, kind of goes away and David Wright becomes David Wright again without having to go to that next step.
Yeah, I mean, you hinted at something in a game story recently, and it was also the topic of a column from Marty Noble a little while back, that you don't – it's difficult to say delicately or carefully because you don't actually hope he's hurt, and yet at the same time, there's some degree to which if there's not something physically compromised, then this is extremely alarming. I mean, is that an accurate way to put it?
No, absolutely. I mean, if you're a Mets fan or if you're anyone in the organization, you sure do hope that David Wright is hurt right now, because if this is what he's become, and I don't think anyone thinks he's going to be the player he was in 06, 07 ever again. You know, that 300 hitting, 30 homer monster, that's just not who he is at this point in his career. But this isn't who he is either. At least that's what you have to hope if you're a Mets fan. And if it winds up that he's, you know, he's fine, he's healthy, his swing is intact, and this is just who he's become, that's a huge issue for a team that's got this guy signed through 2020 that's eating up a monster portion of their payroll. So, the best case scenario for the Mets is that he's hurt and that, you know, an offseason of rest is going to make him right and, you know, he can sort of pick up where he left off last year in 2015.
So in hopes that all of the Mets fans listening don't turn this off, let's talk to about a slightly brighter topic. After a little bit of a slow start, Bartolo Colon has been exactly the pitcher the Mets were hoping they were signing and expecting they were signing for quite some time now. That puts them in an enviable position where if they want to, maybe they can get something for him. What's the kind of thought process in the front office as they ponder whether to bring him back for another year or to part with him to bolster the organization?
Yeah, the Mets are kind of in a really nice situation with Bartolo because they have him signed for another year. He's owed $11 million next year, and he's going to be 42 years old, which sounds like it should be a disaster, but you know, he's having a great year. He's having about as good a year as you could hope a 41-year-old pitcher could have, and he's the type of guy who could really help a contender. Now, all that being said, the Mets don't need to trade him. You know, they sort of have a full rotation next year even without him, and it would probably serve them well to get a really nice piece for him in return. But they don't need to force anything before the waiver trade deadline. If they don't get an offer that they like or some team claims just to block another team from getting him, they don't have to go out of their way to get something done. They can wait until the winter when, you know, you see these free agent starting pitchers going off the board at 4 years, $60 million, you know, 5 years, $65 million, things like that for guys who aren't even of Colon's caliber. That's the time when they think they can sit down and really hash out a good deal with a team that's in need of starting pitching. So I think there's definitely a reasonable chance that something gets done this week by a team that's in the hunt. But the Mets aren't going to force it. And if there's one thing Sandy Alderson is good at, it's the slow play when it comes to these negotiations. And he's more than willing to walk away from the table if it doesn't really break in his favor.
Well, one guy who could be a part of that rotation next year, you had an item on recently, Noah Syndergaard. They're being very careful with him, it sounds like. He's been pitching pretty decent lately, but it seems like part of what's going on here is he has not had that great a year. What's the organization's read beyond whether he sees any time in the big leagues this year is just to kind of how he's pitched overall this year?
Yeah, he's just been completely inconsistent. And, you know, at first you like to chalk that up to the ballpark. You know, Las Vegas is probably the foremost hitter's park in the minor leagues. And so you like to chalk a little bit up to that. But he's just been wildly inconsistent. He's had outings when he's gone out, 7 scoreless, struck out 10, and then the next time out, you know, he'll give up 5 or 6 runs in the first inning. It's kind of an interesting thing because this is a kid who, back in February, it was sort of a foregone conclusion that we were going to see him in July or August, if not sooner. That's what Matt Harvey did. That's what Zach Wheeler did. And, Noah Syndergaard was as good, if not better, of a prospect than both of them. But he just hasn't done it. He hasn't been able to figure it out. So it's going to be, time's running out. He's up against an innings limit. He only has a few starts left. You know, Vegas is going to be going to the playoffs. So by the time he sort of rights himself, he's probably going to be out of innings. The Mets could say, we'll call you up just to get a taste. We'll maybe pitch you out of the bullpen, have you get a couple innings or maybe even a start or two. But it's looking unlikely. And that really hurts his chances. Like I said, this is a full stocked rotation coming into 2015. And if he doesn't have any big league experience coming under his belt, coming to spring training, it might be difficult for him to fight for a job right out of the gate, and he might have to wait a couple months into next season before he finally gets the call.
Speaking of young Mets pitchers, because there are a ton of them, another guy who a few years ago looked like he might be part of the rotation for years to come, Henry Mejia has had a tough time here lately and is apparently dealing with some fairly significant physical issues. To put it bluntly, why is he still pitching?
Yeah, it's a good question, and the answer that the Mets give is, this is a kid who's basically never been healthy. He came up in 2010, I believe he was 20 years old at the time, and almost immediately, went through this series of elbow and shoulder injuries, and he finally got out of all that last year, and, you know, really had a nice year and made it back to the big leagues. And now this year he's just had all these little nagging injuries. It's been one after the other. It seems almost every week something new pops up. And you know, you start to wonder how much, and the Mets have sort of wondered this aloud, is how much of this is him really being hurt and how much of this is him being so sensitive to, you know, having his arm issues in the past that every little ache and pain now, you know, he wants to sit down. But to answer your question, the reason why they're sort of pushing him out there and continuing to have him pitch despite all this is because, you know, they think it's important that he finish this year healthy and get through a full season, you know, without having to go down, without having to go on the disabled list, you know, because they look at this and they look at what I just said, a guy who is worried about his health all the time. If he gets through a full season healthy, you know, maybe he can stop worrying. He can say, well, I can do this and I can do it in this role, you know, as a closer, as a relief pitcher, and not have to worry about my health. And then it's something they won't have to worry about going forward. Now, is that the right decision? I don't know. If it's health issues that can't be exacerbated by pitching, which obviously the Mets believe they are, you know, maybe it is. But he is a significant piece of the future. So you wonder if the Mets are doing the right thing, continuing to send him out there when he's clearly not 100%.
Does that also mean that there's not really anything on the table as far as his role? Is he the ninth inning guy for the remainder, or is that at least something that might be addressed as these last few weeks go on?
Yeah, I mean, as long as he's healthy, he's going to close out this year, you know, being that ninth inning guy. But I don't think there's any guarantees going forward. It's not like he's performed fine in the role, but it's not like he's done so well that the Mets couldn't take him out of it. You know, they have another guy in Harris Familia who's had the best year of anyone in the bullpen, throws hard, looks really good, and, you know, could be that answer as a closer going forward. You know, Vic Black's a guy they've talked about in the past as a potential closer, and they might want to look at him again. And then you have Bobby Parnell, who will probably be back to full strength sometime around May or June next year. And the Mets are still sort of looking to him as their closer if no one's really seized the role before he gets back. So it's going to be interesting. I think he is going to get every shot to fail in the role, but there's no guarantees that he's still going to be closing for the Mets come, you know, next April or May.
Gotcha. All right, well, everybody, thanks for listening to MLB.com Extras, and Anthony Accomo, thanks for taking a few minutes to stop by and chat Mets.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game streamed live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.